somebody who's a world leader in your field comes to you and asks you for your assistance on a project, how would you feel about that? You would probably be honored and consider it a privilege. You would do what you could to participate, even sacrificing time and sleep. And then when you're older, you would look back and see it as one of the most worthwhile times of your life. In today's gospel, Jesus alludes to his crucifixion. Although we can never fully appreciate the crucifixion and its importance in our lives and for our eternal salvation, I wonder how often, if ever, we can try to comprehend the mindset of Jesus. Why and how Jesus was able to willingly endure and even embrace his suffering and death. Because if we can begin to understand Jesus' mindset, I would like to think that it would change the way we pray, the way we give of ourselves, the way we live. We might be tempted to think that a primary motivation is revealed when Jesus says, "Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." Because Jesus understands that his sacrifice, what it means. Because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that it will mean salvation for many. As Jesus said in the Last Supper, "This is the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, which will be shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Or we might look to when Jesus says, "Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this age will be driven out." Because Jesus knows that his triumph through the cross and the resurrection will bring about the defeat of Satan and of death. And those are both powerful fruits of Jesus' sacrifice, but I think they still miss his primary motivation. Now, why do I say that? Well, I know at least in my own life, not that I'm exactly like Jesus, but there are times, there are many things that I do which I know will bring about a greater good, but I don't always do them willingly or even eagerly. On the flip side, there are times that I am able to make those sacrifices willingly and eagerly. Usually it involves a strong love for someone, like my wife or my children or my grandchildren. With that in mind, our second reading in gospel then offer us these glimpses into the mindset of Jesus. In the second reading it says, "And he was heard by the Father because of his reverence." And the gospel says, "It was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." What motivates Jesus is this deep, profound love and reverence for his Father. And so that brings us back to the scenario I posed at the beginning. If someone who is a leader in your field came to you and asked for your assistance on a project, you would probably be honored and considered a privilege. You would do what you could to participate in any way that you could, even sacrificing time and sleep. Like, for example, over the past month or so, I've had this opportunity to play tennis with somebody who's like way out of my league. All right, I don't even know why he puts up with me. You know, I mean, he was recently one of the top players at USC Columbia, which means he's like one step beneath the people you watch on television. Well, guess what? I will set aside things, if possible, to accommodate him, because playing with him is such a privilege. Well, the one true God, the Holy One of Israel, the great I Am, asked Jesus to assist on this project. And Jesus will set aside all things to accommodate him. Yes, it will result in the eternal salvation of many, and it will be the instrument for the defeat of Satan. What could possibly be a greater honor and privilege? Yes, it'll involve, Jesus knows, his suffering and death, but what could possibly be a greater honor and privilege than to accomplish the mission of the Father? And so this reality then permeates the rest of Jesus' public ministry, especially reaching out to the sick, to the sinners, to the outcasts, to those who hated him. It's why often he goes out into the wilderness to pray. It's a privilege to participate with and accomplish the mission of the Father. I think that's Jesus' mindset. Is it ours? That's the big question. Because when the one true God, the Holy One of Israel, the great I Am, wants us to assist him, do we see it as a privilege? It will result in the eternal salvation of others. It will involve us being instruments of driving evil out of the world. It could bring about the salvation of those who are in our families. What is our response? Do we see it as an inconvenience, a burden, or do we recognize it as the privilege that it is, as the highest privilege imaginable? For example, when it was time to come to Mass today, what was your mindset? As you were driving here, what was your attitude? Obligation or opportunity? If someone suggests that you sacrifice some of your time to support an important ministry or teaching of the church, like standing up for the sanctity of marriage and the sanctity of human life, is it like when that leader in the field came to you? Are you looking for a way to participate, even if it means a sacrifice of time or sleep? What about just coming to one extra Mass during the week? Or participating in a church social event? Would you consider that an opportunity, a privilege, or a burden? How do we cultivate a mindset like Jesus? Well, he tells us. He says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also my servant will be. Do you want to develop the mindset of Jesus? Then be where Jesus is or where Jesus would be. Where I am, in service, in sacrifice, in prayer, there also will my servant be. In the interest of time, let's just limit ourselves just to the idea of prayer. Would anyone else have had it and encountered God in prayer more deeply than Jesus? I don't think so. The path that Jesus takes to the cross is almost incomprehensible to us because we've not taken seriously encountering God in prayer the way Jesus did, the way the saints did. Where I am, there also my servant will be. We have a perpetual adoration chapel where Jesus is literally present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, day and night, all hours. How often do we spend time with him there? We have Holy Mass every day of the week. Do we ever take time to be with him there? Please recognize that the people who've come from other places, those of us who have been here a while, have gotten used to being spoiled. Please recognize that having perpetual adoration is an incredible privilege. Having daily Mass is a privilege. Having social events like our married couples date night that we had last night, having things like our That Man Is You program, where you can meet Jesus in your fellow parishioners, is a blessing. Serving the poor, the immigrant, the isolated, the homebound, the outcast, you know, especially the incredible work our St. Vincent de Paul Society does, the incredible work that our homebound ministers do, that's a privilege as well. Or have we dismissed what I'm saying because doing those things would be an inconvenience or an imposition or a burden? The one true God, the Holy One of Israel, the great I Am, wants you to assist him. And then he wants you to spend eternity with him. What do you think of that? Guess what? If you find a way to say yes, even if it involves a sacrifice of time and sleep, I can assure you that when you look back on your life, especially on your deathbed, you will recognize that those times were one of the most worthwhile times of your life and the greatest possible blessings, because you put on the mind of Jesus and it saved your life.